following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Need gifts for the handyman on your list? Right now at Lowe's, get a free Hitachi 12-volt lithium-ion cordless drill driver with the purchase of a Hitachi 18-volt lithium-ion cordless impact driver. That's an $89 value, and get a Task Force 110-piece drill driver bit set for just $9.97. That's a savings of $10. But hurry, supplies won't last long. Plus, get free parcel shipping on Lowe's.com orders of $49 or more now through December 22nd. It's all at Lowe's. Never stop improving. Offer is valid through December 5th of 2011.
Don't waste time and money this holiday season driving all over town in search of the perfect gift. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and purchase gift cards. They're available for any amount and can be used at the store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly gift cards take the guesswork out of Christmas. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's going on? Stuart Scott with you. Thanks for checking in with SportsCenter. Coming up, breaking news. This just in. Scott.
Don't you love, we love local, love the local team announcers that go bananas.
Go bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug Duda from ESPN Radio in Kearney.
Well, you want answers? I go get you answers. But that's just my opinion. I don't know. It's just my opinion.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
We can't get anybody open down the field. There's people running post patterns, and they're open by two steps. We have nobody that can get open by two steps.
Contact the show at 1-888-455-ESPN, 1-888-455-3776, or email the show at DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com.
Okay, that's enough out of you.
There it is!
Oh, very nice!
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug and Tony, it's all right. The Cowboys are, they can lose, you know. It sucks. I don't like it as much, you know. Dolphins have lost a whole bunch of times. It's okay, Tony. It's okay. The Cowboys will rise again. It'll be all right, you know. You could just shellac the Lakers or shellac the Raiders, like, amazingly. 34-0 when I came back.
Man, why am I not surprised that's where you want to start today? Everyone out there talking about freezing your own kicker. Everyone. Why would you do it?
Well, there's nothing else going on in Florida. There's not like a Pelini going there or anything. I don't see what's going on in Florida besides the Miami Dolphins.
There you go. What a game they had.
It was amazing.
You know, they just scored again, I think, and then 34-0 and what a blowout. Folks, glad to have you along with us. Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald is going to join us here in the next segment of the radio show. A lot to talk about because, of course, Carl Pelini officially will be announced in a little bit here to be the head coach at Florida Atlantic. So whether you're a Carl fan, whether you're, you know, down on Carl or you're up on Carl, whatever, he's getting a personnel or moving. Will he take people with him? That remains to be seen. Also, on today's show, we're going to talk about the bowl games. Alabama-LSU, is that the right matchup? Oklahoma State fans out there, I know you're frustrated. I know you're sick to your stomach. You just absolutely blow the doors off of your rival and then to celebrate, you trample 13 people and send them to the hospital. But beside that, I think Mike Gundy, you know, goes out and he says, hey, guys, we got to come out here. We got to set the tone early. We got to set the tone often. We got to take over this game. We got to show people that are watching tonight across the nation what kind of a football team we are. You know what? For the 107th ranked defense or whatever they entered that game as, entering that game, their defense played pretty damn well. Real well, and I know they're disappointed in Oklahoma that the orange and black will not be representative of the. I think nothing gets talked about the loss to Iowa State. Nothing gets talked about the personal tragedy that went on 2 days before or 20 some hours before they took the field against Iowa State. But That's just one of the things to throw in there. The bowl matchups are set up. We'll hit on those. Douglas, how are you this morning?
There's a lot of words I could use. Hey, folks, come on. 800-888-455-3776. Get in on the program today. 888-455-3776. Or you can email us, Dent Popper Inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. I don't think you can go wrong with either Alabama or Oklahoma State. There were a lot. I mean, you can make a case. You can find whatever statistics you want to put up there on either side that say, well, Oklahoma State, well, Alabama. I just say, put yourselves, say that Nebraska was in either one of those situations. I'm sure you would be in the exact, you would say, you know what? If Wisconsin was undefeated in number one and that was our only loss, we should get another shot at them. Or, hey, they had their shot. We've beaten everybody we needed to beat. An unfortunate loss to Iowa State. And they had that ball game won. You feel for Oklahoma State in this situation. You also feel for some of those teams that, like a Kansas State and a Boise State. Like, Boise State, they just keep getting shafted. They play the first, well, not the first, but they play before Christmas against a 500 Arizona State team. There's fair and there's unfair all up and down the board, but Boise State keeps getting the shaft.
Doug, I can take the other side of that and saying Boise State knows going out what Boise State has to do, and they keep failing at that, and that's beating some inferior competition to them all year long. They've got to take care of business. Get a kicker.
Okay, they lost to a TCU team that went 10-2, I believe. Is that correct? And Oklahoma State lost to an Iowa State team that went 500. Who's better?
Oklahoma State.
I mean, why is there such a big, why is there such a big gap between those two? Oklahoma State's going to the Fiesta Bowl. These guys are going to play in Nevada again at the Las Vegas Bowl.
Well, I tell you,
they went to Georgia and beat Georgia, who was in the SEC championship game. They did what they needed to do. Even when they went undefeated, they didn't get to go to the BCS national championship game. They got to go to a BCS game where then they were pitted against TCU, where, once again, you don't give them a chance to prove whether they are worthy or not because you pit them against another non-BCS conference. They continually get shafted. Continually get shafted. Virginia Tech does not belong. Boise State does.
Boise State
beat Virginia Tech last year. And you can say it's last year. They still proved over that team. There are so many other ways to go here. I think the national championship, I just think it's going to be boring talk for everyone outside of those two programs. There's not going to be the buzz as if it was Oklahoma State and LSU. And I hope LSU wins, and I hope LSU wins handily. The problem was Alabama probably should have won the first game. They missed four field goals. They have Brett Maher. They're playing for the national championship, undefeated number one. They don't. They're playing for the national championship anyway. So you got to hope LSU can't have a start like they did against Georgia and hope to beat Alabama. But nobody wants to see 10-7, do you?
No, I don't think anybody. No, I don't think anybody does. I think, I think a 35-21 or something, a 35-24 ball game is much more entertaining than 6-3. Unless you're Ray Lewis or Troy Polamalu, then you love 3-0. But I just think, and we can go back to the Virginia Tech, we can go back to Boise State deal. Whatever you want to talk about, 888-455-3776. To finish up the season, Boise State takes their starters out, start of the third quarter. When they're hammering New Mexico, Oklahoma State's blasting Oklahoma. I mean, I think you go back and look at the schedule, and I know it's a BCS argument with the strength of schedule, the Big 12, comparatively speaking to what Boise State plays. Year in and year out, week in, week out. That's why Oklahoma State is that much better than Boise State.
Let's make that our new poll question. You know what? I had one this morning. Totally forgot what I wanted to put up. So Let's go for
a couple. Did Greg come in and call a timeout when you were going to put it up and freeze you?
Yeah, and I just didn't know what to do.
You had it all typed out, didn't hit return, and then you couldn't come back to it.
I went, what? What? Reboot, reboot.
Reboot.
Who should be in the national title game, Alabama or Oklahoma State? That's our ATS hot topic for the next few shows. All you have to do is go to our website at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. Also, something that needs to be discussed, Mark D'Antonio, why are you rushing the punter? Why? What are you doing? What are you doing? Cost yourself a Big Ten championship. Michigan State should have won that football game on Saturday. Should have won that football game. There's people that say Wisconsin had the dominant first quarter. Why did they quit running the ball? Why did they quit doing some things at work? Everybody makes changes, folks. Michigan State. Anyway, I'm sure that you probably won Pick'em or the caller won Pick'em because I think that was like if they only – Fresno State, you fire Pat Hill. What the hell are you doing? What are you doing? What, you want to fire John Cook now because he lost? What are you doing, Fresno State, you morons? That's the only thing you're even known for. You fire Pat Hill. There are so many coaches openings. So many coaches openings. I do want to make this one point, Tony. Here's one thing that I want discussed in the national media sometime along. They keep saying at the beginning of the year, coaches keep saying at the beginning of the year, many people at the beginning of the year outside of the media say preseason polls in the football or whatever, but especially football, that preseason polls don't matter. You know what? If Oklahoma State was preseason number 2 or 3 and Alabama was preseason number 9 and 10, Oklahoma State would be playing for the national championship. Bottom line, no questions asked. Bottom line, that's the truth. Alabama was number 1 or 2. It was number 1 or 2. They were 2 behind Oklahoma in about everything, and Oklahoma State was around 9 or 10 in just about everything.
That hypothetical we'll never know. We know that the SEC is the best conference in the nation, and that's why they were rated 1 and 2.
Who says?
That's inarguable. You can't say who's the best conference in the nation then, Doug?
We'll never know because nobody's going to get a shot at the SEC champ. Let's go to the Bruce Furniture fan line.
Joe from Buckwana.
Yeah, I just kind of got a scenario for you. If Alabama would happen to win by 3 points in this championship game, do they make it a split national champion?
Well, that's the question everybody's been asking is if they win, then we're split. Each team has won once. Well, you know Alabama's going to be the national champ.
I think Alabama's going to beat them anyway.
Well, hey, but it is interesting. Call. Then if you're LSU, you say, well, it's 1-1. Are we going to play again to decide the tie?
That's why I don't think a whole lot can be there's going to be way more arguments after this game if Alabama wins. We need to take a break because when we come back, Sam McEwen's going to join us to talk about the Big Ten, Big Ten championship game, Nebraska-South Carolina, give you your first insight into that, and Carl Pelini headed to Florida Atlantic. It's all coming up next.
Okay, what do you say we break for lunch?
Hey, how about a W?
The new double cheeseburger from Wendy's.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Well, if you're happy just throwing anything down your throat, the W is too good for you.
If you say so.
Did you know Wendy's makes your W so it's hot and juicy?
Oh, well, like...
Oh, so you don't like signature sauce, awesome toppings, and a butter-toasted bun?
Well, maybe.
Maybe?
I don't even know you anymore.
Try Wendy's new W double cheeseburger right now for just $2.99 at participating Wendy's.
Tuition is expensive, in-state, out-of-state, it doesn't matter. And even though you may not have had perfect standardized test scores, Dr. Pepper thinks you deserve free tuition to make your dreams come true. Go to drpepper.com and submit a one-minute video telling us how you want to make an impact on the people around you, your community, or maybe even the world. You may be one of the winners to get a piece of the millions in tuition being given away this college football season, courtesy of Dr. Pepper. Now that's one of a kind. Go to drpepper.com for more details and full official rules. No purchase necessary.
For physical rehab, many times therapeutic pool exercises are prescribed. But here's the problem. You have to get wet. With the new anti-gravity therapy treadmill at Family Physical Therapy, you can still get the low-impact benefit of a pool, but you stay dry, and your therapist can closely watch your progress, and you can't fall. Used by Walter Reed Hospital and the U.S. Olympic team, the AlterG anti-gravity treadmill is something you need to talk to your doctor or therapist about. Or call Family Physical Therapy for a free demonstration. Log on to AlterG.com. To see a video.
Whether you need to pick off a prairie dog or call in a turkey, the Boathouse in Grindallen has a variety of ammunition and hunting accessories a true outdoorsman like yourself want. The Boathouse is more than just boats. It's ammo, live bait, and it's the right stuff, all in one place, so you can have more time in the fields or the lake, doing what you like to do best. The Boathouse. Boats, hunting, accessories, ammo, and live bait. North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
I'm Doug Duda with the Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN radio station, brought to you by Buffalo County Farm Bureau. For all your insurance, Buffalo County Farm Bureau is all you need to know. The Nebraska football team is headed to the Capital One Bowl January 2nd. The Monday kickoff against South Carolina is set for 12 noon. The Tri-City Storm will be at Omaha Tuesday night, and then they will return home to take on Des Moines Friday and Saturday. For the Nebraska men's basketball team, they will host Florida Gulf Coast on Wednesday, travel to TCU Saturday. The Husker women will be hosting Creighton on Thursday, traveling to Northern Arizona on Saturday. The UNK men's and women's basketball teams will welcome in Metro State on Friday and take on Regis Sunday. For the Hastings College men's and women's basketball teams, they will host Nebraska Wesleyan Wednesday, travel to Briar Cliff on Saturday. The Hastings wrestling team will duel Concordia at Seward Thursday and then be part of the UNK Loper Open, which takes place Saturday. The Husker wrestlers will host Wyoming Saturday. That's a Sports Minute.
We'll see breaks of sun, along with some cloudiness across portions of the area today, with highs around 20. Winds out of the north will stay gusty around 15 to 25, with some higher gusts at times. Tonight will fall to 3 below zero. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 16 degrees. So live your life.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Florida Atlantic officially has named Carl Pelini their new head football coach. Doug and Danny, with all the pro-SEC talk on ESPN, it doesn't surprise me that this rematch happened. Once again, if Alabama wins, do they play again, Tom and Hastings? Everybody's asking that. That's going to get old, too. Do they play again? No, they don't play again.
No, and that's... But that's why the system sucks. And everybody says, well, it's the best we got. Well, change it. I don't.
They keep changing it. They keep tweaking it. The problem is there is no clear-cut number two this year. There is no clear. Everybody had a chance. There's no doubt that everybody had a chance this year.
You're right on that. Troy Calhoun at Air Force voted Oklahoma State 5. They've got who the coaches voted for in the USA Today. So, when it comes down to this close and you're thinking, gosh, if you're Oklahoma State, how would you persuade any more votes the other night? But regardless, Bull Talk, Carl Pelini Talk, all the talk. Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald joins us. Sam, how are you today? Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, welcome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, I want to start with Carl. Is that a good hire?
Okay.
Is that a good hire, Sam? You've been following the story.
Atlantic.
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, you know what? I'm curious to see who his offensive coordinator is. If his offensive coordinator is somebody who can go in there and turn around things right away, sure could be. Yeah, because and this is just my opinion. I think Carl can recruit. I do. I think Carl's an effective recruiter. I've seen him recruit effectively in JUCO level and in California. I think you turn him loose in South Florida and he'll get some players, especially to a brand new stadium, which they now have. But the question is, who does he know in the coaching tree? And I think he knows a lot of people, but who can he convince to go to Florida Atlantic? Because ultimately, he can only control the defensive side of the ball, and the defense isn't that bad. And the Sun Belt, again, you know, your offenses are going to be what wins that league. So he's got to figure out how to turn around one of the most pitiful offenses in recent college football memory. I was talking to a couple guys down in Florida Atlantic, a couple of reporters, and they said this team couldn't complete 20-yard passes in practice. So, I mean, Carl's got his work cut out for him. Apparently, this morning, the athletic director down there handed out packets to all the trustees with Carl's sort of vision and sales pitch for the program, and they were all really impressed. So somewhere in that packet, he must have explained how he's going to change that offense, and he must have somebody who can come in and do it fast. And I'm curious to see who that person is.
Sam, who are the other names up for that job?
The other two finalists appear to have been Gary Nord, who is the offensive coordinator at Purdue, and the Florida State associate head coach, Eddie Grant, I think is his name. And then, you know, Mike Leach had more or less a standing offer to take that program over. if he didn't get another job. But, of course, Leach got the job at Washington State. I think the other bigger name coaches looked at it, but they said no, the assistant coaching pool is not enough in terms of pay. A guy like Tommy Bowden, maybe, who used to coach at Clemson. A guy like maybe even Terry Bowden, who now coaches, I can't remember.
North Alabama.
Sanford, yeah, something like that. So, you know, I think those guys turned it down because they didn't think they could attract coaches. So we'll just have to see who Carl Pelini is able to wrangle up.
Sam McHugh of the Omaha World Herald joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. This football team obviously wasn't good this year, but just a handful of years ago, they're winning back-to-back bowl games in 07 and 08. Right. Did Schnellenberger just lose interest? What happened to the program?
He wouldn't change the offense, and he lost the quarterback who could run it. Rusty Smith, if you remember him, he came up here in 09.
Yeah.
And he was a pretty good pro-style guy. Once he left, they didn't have anybody to replace him. So their offense, you know, stunk last year, and it stunk this year because of that. And, you know, he just wouldn't change. And his offense, his pro-style offense is older than the West Coast offense. I remember talking to him before the 09 game, and he said, you know, this thing goes back to the 1972 Miami Dolphins, you know. And so he's not kidding, you know, because he coordinated that. His offense was old-school pro-style, you know, two-back, a lot of different kinds of stuff going on. So it wasn't even a West Coast motion offense. It was more of a just an old school power offense, and he didn't have the players to run it. I don't know why he kept doing it. Stubborn, I guess.
Sam, anybody on this staff in Nebraska that Carl can convince to go be an assistant for him immediately?
Oh, maybe a GA or an intern. Sure, I mean those guys are going to have to listen because they're a GA and an intern. There's some GAs that I think would probably stay here. You know, and I said this a couple of times already, Carl knows more people than I'd even say Bo knows in terms of just people. And he's got a lot of contacts in JUCO ranks. He's got a lot of contacts in high school coaching ranks. He's been around. You know, he's coached in a lot of different places. He knows a lot of different people. He knows the Stoops brothers better probably than Bo in some ways because he's closer to him in age. And Carl has a certain kind of personality where he can get to know people. He's more outgoing than Bo, there's no question about it. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's some people on his staff that we've just never heard of. We don't even, they're out of left field. So for us, not for him, but for us. So, you know, I think he'll probably have a wide and varied staff, and he better put a couple people from Florida on that staff. You can't recruit South Florida and not know any of the high schools down there. So he's going to have to find somebody who knows how to recruit down there.
Wow,
and knows the lay of the land.
A better personality than Bo Pelini. Who'd have thunk it?
and we know he knows how to make friends. Sam McHugh joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's move on to the Huskers in South Carolina. That was the rumor here for quite a while, so it wasn't a shock when that came out. This is this is the best scenario for the Huskers, isn't it, Sam?
Great scenario. They can beat this team. They can beat South Carolina. South Carolina's offense is limited. In some ways, I mean, they don't have the running back. They got the wide receiver, but the quarterback's young. But you get the pedigree of playing an SEC team that's got 10 wins, and it's in Orlando, which ought to draw a whole ton of Nebraska fans. I think you guys probably know there's a nice contingency of Nebraska fans in Orlando itself that just live there. So they're going to have a ton of Husker fans in that stadium. I think this is about as good as it could have been, other than Sugar Bowl. BCS, that would have been better. But, you know, this is about as good as Nebraska could hope for once Wisconsin did the silly dance all over them earlier this year.
When Wisconsin comes back and wins that game, the Capital One became Nebraska's bowl, right? If Wisconsin loses that game, they're going there, right?
I don't know. I think Nebraska probably still would have gotten a hard look because Wisconsin's been to the Cap One several times. And Wisconsin might have appreciated a trip to the Insight Bowl or Arizona, especially if Oklahoma's out there, which I believe Oklahoma is, right?
Right on. No,
yeah, so
right.
I think that would have been, you know, I'm not sure why Michigan State, it is the money. But if I was Michigan State, I would have said, Iowa, you can go play Georgia. We'll go play Oklahoma out in the Insight, and we'll beat a team that doesn't want to be there. you know, which is what Oklahoma will be. That's what I would have taken. Then I would have, you know, told my fan base. I said, well, let's go to Phoenix instead of Florida. But I don't know. I guess Michigan State couldn't drop that far. They could. They could have dropped in the inside. I'm surprised they didn't want the inside. I would have taken it.
Talking with Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald, one of the beat writers that takes care of Husker football. The one thing, watching and listening to Steve Spurrier in a couple of press conferences last night, it seems like the one thing that you got to have motivation in a bowl game. We saw that last year with Nebraska. You got to have motivation to win. And they're not quite in the backyard, but obviously anything that's on the East Coast, they're going to be right there, and maybe it's not quite as exciting. But they're going to really sell that they can be the best team in school history with an 11th win, and it seems like he's going to hang his hat on that.
Better believe it. And they've stunk at bowls under Spurrier. They're 1-4.
Yeah.
And they've lost 3 in a row, and none of the 3 games have been close. So South Carolina is in that spot Nebraska used to be in, where Nebraska lost a bunch of bowl games in a row and wanted to, you know, show people something. That's where South Carolina's at now. In terms of motivation, both teams will be very motivated. I think Nebraska will be motivated by this opponent. I think they'll be motivated by the opponent now. I don't know if it had been, you know, an ACC team or something else, but now that they're going to go down there and they're going to play South Carolina, trust me, they're going to be fired up. This will be a very hard-hitting, physical, both teams want it kind of game, and I think that's what you want if you're a Nebraska fan.
Sam, you handle the recruiting duties for the World Herald. We had a decommit. The 5-star, 4-star linebacker out of Louisiana picked LSU, right, decommitted last week. Obviously a huge blow to this recruiting class. Anything positive going on for Husker recruiting?
Well, you know, this is a tough year because Nebraska's going shooting high. They're going after big names, and they could have gotten some commits from smaller names. But I don't think that got them very far in 08 and 09. And you're seeing the fruits of that labor this year and the next year on defense with players that just frankly aren't quite good enough to field the top 10 defense, no matter who your coordinator is. It could be Nick Saban, it could be God. So, you know, I think now they're going after bigger names, guys that are going to wait and wait and wait to December and January, and so they're hitting the trail. Losing Deion Jones hurts. At the end of the day, you know, Les Miles comes in 48 hours before his SEC championship and does his in-home visit with Deion Jones, and I'm sure he told him, you know, I'm 48 hours away from the SEC championship, and here I am in your house telling you to come to LSU. That's how much you mean to me. And I think Nebraska would have behooved itself to send Bo Pelini that week, last week. So send him right away. To say, you know, here I am. You know, Les is coming in later this week. Don't commit just because he says so, or because he puts the high heat on you, which I'm sure Les Miles did. That's just a little bit of gamesmanship. You know, when I look at it from last week, Bo Pelini visited a variety of linebackers, some of whom I think are better than Deion Jones, frankly. But at the same time, if you got to commit, you know that LSU's got an offer out there. I think that's the first visit you make. Now, for that said, I think Nebraska is in on some good linebackers, some really good ones, actually. The kid from New Jersey I like a lot, Quanzo Lambert. The kid from Utah could be pretty good. I think you say his name is Afalava or Flava, something like that. And, you know, so they're in on some decent players. The question is, who do they land? Who they actually get to come to Nebraska? And, you know, so be encouraged by the caliber of player they're after and be encouraged by the fact that they're in the top 5 with a lot of these kids, and some of those top 5s include Alabama, which is encouraging that a kid's looking at Nebraska and he's looking at Alabama. But they got to land it, and they got about 2 months to do it.
Just a couple questions left for Sam McEwen, who is with us. Of course, folks, from the Omaha World Herald, Levante David was named a first-team All-American today. One of our emailers, Eric, wants to know your thoughts on a new defensive coordinator. Are you on the Papuchas bandwagon, or do they look outside the program?
I'm not going to be on any bandwagon on this one. What I laid out in my column today is that Bo has options, and those options all come with storylines. You know, if you promote John Papuchas from within, first of all, I like John a lot. And once you talk to him about 3 or 4 times, you see that he gets it. But if you promote him from within, Bo Pelini is still running the defense. That's just reality. You can't appoint a guy that's, you know, been coaching for 4 years to be your defensive coordinator at Nebraska. So Bo Pelini's still running the defense. If he goes after a guy like Stoops, then Bo Pelini can say, I'm letting him run the defense. Even though I know what I'm doing, I'm going to let him do it because he knows what he's doing, and I'm going to worry about helping this offense carry this team next year because I don't care who, again, I don't care who you hire in that job. The offense has to be the stronger unit next year based on the guys that are returning. So, you know, if they decide to appoint a defensive coordinator like a Stoops and they bring him in and he's able to run the defense, that frees Bo up to go look harder at special teams because I don't know about you, but the return units for Nebraska just disappeared for the last six or seven games of the year, and they hurt Nebraska on several occasions. Or I look at keeping the defensive staff the same way and getting a high-end quarterback coach, a high-end quarterback coach, not a promotion of a, you know, 25-year-old, but high-end quarterback coach who can come in and can really work with Taylor Martinez on a daily basis on some of the stuff that'll make him a better player. Personally, I think Bo will probably promote from within, but that Stoops thing is out there, and that's tantalizing. I think that if he were to hire a guy like Stoops, it would at least say to fans, "We're going after this thing. We're not just going to settle for promoting guys from within and sticking with that. We're going to go with a big name, and we're going to let him do what he does." You know, so we'll just have to see what happens. But I'm not going to support any one course of action. I want to see what happens. I want to see how fans react to those.
Sam brings up an interesting point because Coach Spurrier brought it up yesterday. One of the big weaknesses on this South Carolina team is covering kicks. So that's something you were going to want to watch. That's one of the things he mentioned yesterday. Sam, my last question for you. First run through the Big Ten. With the bowl game still to go, how do you grade Nebraska's season? How do you think this first year went?
Somewhere between a B and a C. I want to see how they finish in the final exam because that will be one of the toughest games they play. It's probably right next to Wisconsin and Michigan. That's probably the third toughest game to play. We saw how they did in games 1 and 2. So this is about the third toughest game they're going to play. I want to see how they do in it. But for now, it's somewhere between a B and a C. Now they go out to Orlando and they pull out a win. That's a pretty big feather in my opinion. They go out there and they drop it 28-10, and you're looking at a team that can't deliver against high-caliber defenses, because Michigan and Wisconsin had those, and, speed. Even though Wisconsin's not real fast, Michigan was. So I'm curious to see it. Here's one thing to watch, okay? Now, on January 2nd, Nebraska's going to play South Carolina. On January 3rd, Michigan's going to play Virginia Tech. There ain't much difference between South Carolina and Virginia Tech. Not really. I don't think Virginia Tech's probably as good as South Carolina, frankly. Michigan is a heck of a team looking into the future here. Their recruiting class is terrific. Their recruiting class last year was terrific. Nebraska's, just watch those two games. Nebraska, South Carolina, Michigan, Virginia Tech. That'll tell you a lot about the future fortunes of these two programs in the next 2-3 years. Because Nebraska's got to pull its eyeballs off of Wisconsin and Iowa and all that other stuff, and they got to look straight at Michigan and see where is Michigan, where is Nebraska. We know what Michigan's philosophy is in terms of hiring coaches. They went out and got two studs for their coordinators. And we know what their philosophy is in recruiting. They're going to have the number one class for 2012, most likely, number one or number two. Where is Nebraska in relation to Michigan? That's the question that's going to be bouncing around in Nebraska fans' heads for the next month, and then for the next month after that game, those two games in early January.
Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald. Sam, you're very popular, by the way. We keep getting emails from you. El Conquistador says, if Mike Stoops is hired, does he have to bring any of his own coaches with him? Would that be something that he comes with?
I don't know. My guess is that Mike Stoops is going to weigh whatever offer he gets from wherever he gets it, and that may include head coaching offers. That's the thing that I think people have to remember. This is a guy that might go out and apply for Colorado State. Yeah. He might apply for Houston if someone leaves. He might apply for Southern Miss if Fedora leaves. I mean, Stoops probably going to have more options than a defensive coordinator. It's just a question of how much can you pay him and how good is the situation. He's already got a look at Ohio State, so Urban Meyer already thinks enough of him to hire him as a co-coordinator with Luke Fickell. But I think Stoops will have several options, and some of those, in my opinion, might be head coaching options. So Nebraska is going to have to be really, really competitive and aggressive if they want anybody with that caliber. I don't know that they do. I mean, Bo might just want to do it his way and run the defense his way and keep things on the same track and not add, you know, somebody like that into the chemistry. He might want to keep it the way it is. But again, that sets up a stark contrast between what Brady Hoke did at Michigan, okay, a guy that had coached at a couple of places, and Bo Pelini at Nebraska. Very stark contrast between those two things.
Sam, we'll let you get back to work as you continue to follow the official announcement with Carl Pelini going to Florida Atlantic, and it's just begun, Nebraska, South Carolina talk. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work. We'll see you soon.
You guys too. Thanks.
Thanks, Sam McEwen, joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio from the Omaha World Herald here in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth. Lot to go over. There's a lot to discuss. That's why it's a month away. Thank God. Jeez.
It'll be here before you know it, and the plane will be taken off, and all the coverage will be surrounding this team. Nice bowl game. I think it's a great bowl game for Nebraska. You know, we were here on Friday night, Insight Bowl, and they were thinking,
well, yeah, they can't do any better. This is the highest profile game outside of the BCS with everything that goes with it, all the attractions, all the things you get to do away from the game, obviously beautiful weather. The highest pay of any non-BCS game. I mean, and you're playing, you draw South Carolina. This is a 10-2 team that didn't play LSU and didn't play Alabama this year. They beat Georgia. They lost by 3 to Auburn, but they didn't have to play the two teams that are playing for the national championship out of their conference. So there you go. And as Coach Spurrier said, hey, we played the championship game last year with 3 losses for the SEC. This year we had 2 and we didn't get in. So you just never know. Because Georgia only had 1 conference loss.
I think when you looked at the other possible matchups we were hearing, Arkansas, I think that, you know, you're looking at that one going, it's going to take our very best day, a couple turnovers, for us to be in this ball game. I mean, when you're hearing names like that, you're going, wow, South Carolina. When you're hearing Georgia, people that watched the first half the other night, oh, crapola, we are in trouble. You know, I think you hear South Carolina, you go, hey, we got a chance to win that. We got a chance to, you know, to do well again in that game and compete and have a chance at the end to win one.
All the guests on the Doug and Daddy Show taken care of by our friends at BK, 2 locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. Stop by, see them today. Check out the BK Minis, Mini Burger, Mini Chicken. They're all there for you. We'll be back with a whole lot more after this.
December is Customer Appreciation Month at Subway Restaurants, so we're thanking our customers for being such big fans with $2 subs. The regular 6-inch cold-cut combo or meatball marinara. That's right. The crowd-pleasing cold-cut combo or meatball marinara are only $2 each for a 6-inch sub. Get these 2 subs made fresh for you, just $2. Saying thanks is a big deal, so hurry in. Prices and participation may vary. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only. Plus tax are applicable.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidating. Rough and tumble. Real bad mamma jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible. Especially if they insure their motorcycle with GEICO along with their car. GEICO's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say something and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call GEICO or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see breaks of sun, along with some cloudiness across portions of the area today, with highs around 20. Winds out of the north will stay gusty around 15 to 25, with some higher gusts at times. Tonight will fall to 3 below zero. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 16 degrees.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We got to get that light fixed, don't we?
We do.
Doug Duda, Big Daddy Tony Davis Merritt taking care of our producing and engineering behind the scenes as always, and we'd love to hear from you. Dent Popper Inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Phone number 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. So many things I want to get to today. Here's one. Jerry fires this off to me, and I'd heard about this. Kearney Public Schools will be in the classroom for the Husker Bowl game at kickoff. I've heard that maybe it's a teacher in service. I've heard that they actually have school. I don't even know. I remember once getting drugged back into school January 2nd. We give these folks, kids, families, and stick with me here, we give them every damn day off that there is. So immediately, let's fix this. If you are scheduled to have school on January the 2nd, you're not having school. All right? You can say it's for a stupid football game, but if you're the one, if you're listening to a sports program right now, I think you're a sports fan, okay? I'm going to tell you what. I'll go the extra day in May. I'm watching the game. Don't already create a problem for yourself here. Take January 2nd off like you probably have for 20 straight years. Usually the only time you would go to school on January 2nd is if, like, January 1st fell on a Wednesday, and so you didn't want to wait till the 5th or 6th to come back to school, so you crammed the 2nd and 3rd in there and you went into the weekend. I believe that was the only time I ever had to go back to school on January 2nd when you actually didn't get every day off in the world. So, again, use some common sense. You're not in the NCAA. Take the day off. It doesn't make any sense. You take 100,000 other days off, take this day off, reschedule it. If you get crammed on a snow day, you make it up. It's pretty simple. It's not hard.
No, I think you're exactly right, Doug. And you know, you say you get this day off and this, you get 3 or 4 days off in January for these teacher in-service or in-service work days, whatever that means. I know you've got to have them apparently because Lord knows you got enough of them. Replace that with a day of school. Everybody moves forward. Everybody enjoys the Husker Bowl game. And I think some of the administration at Kearney High might have an interest in this bowl game. I don't know. Maybe their son kicks or something. Figure it out, Brian! Now! Now, Brian! Jeez. Call it off now!
Anyway, and I'm not just talking Kearney. I'm talking... Come on, people. I have to turn in my Heisman ballot by 4 o'clock this afternoon. I believe I've whittled it down. I believe I know who I'm voting for.
Now
you got any input here? We got about 15 minutes left on the show. If you've got input, give us a call, give us an email. Who should I be voting for the Heisman? A lot is being put on Robert Griffin III. Is he really better than Andrew Luck? Is he really better than Andrew Luck this year? There is one thing I will say: Monty Ball has done more than Trent Richardson has. So Monty Ball will be ahead of Trent Richardson on my ballot, if Trent Richardson is on my ballot. You can't sell me Trent Richardson. His numbers aren't there. He's not on the conference champion.
I just think if you watch Trent Richardson against the defenses he went against, his numbers are going to be down.
Did you see the comparison between Alabama
Yes.
and Oklahoma State last night? Oklahoma State beat 7 rated No. teams. Alabama beat 3. Top teams with winning records, 5-3 or something like that. Or it was 5-2 for the ranked team,
right.
7-3 with winning records. You look at Alabama, they didn't necessarily, after the fact, play a lot of great football teams, okay? And I don't know how Monty Ball's getting overlooked. Second most rushing touchdowns in a single season in NCAA history, and he's barely being talked about. Barry Sanders, number one. He's number two. Now, albeit two more games for Monty Ball than what Barry Sanders had.
I'm looking at the name people that would say name competition this year for Alabama. And they come in 11-1, very, very nice resume. Penn State early in the season. Arkansas just 38-14 pasting. But this year, Florida stunk, Vanderbilt stunk, Mississippi wasn't good, Tennessee wasn't good. Then you get the matchup with LSU. Then you got
6-6. Six, by the way. Okay, go ahead.
Mississippi State, Georgia Southern, and Auburn. I think a lot of people, they watch Alabama hammer those teams. And again, I think the athletes, obviously, the recruiting classes Nick Saban's assembled, they look to be a different football team. I think Alabama-Auburn, they have a different athlete than the other teams. Now, in saying that, we'll never know because Oklahoma State doesn't get a matchup. Whatever. Maybe you're right, Doug. Maybe the competition, which everybody thinks the SEC is so great, was he running wild when he was blasting Mississippi 52? You know what I mean? When you say Trent Richardson. There's obviously these guys are all got runs that people are going to go, the wow factor. And, you know, when he's dragging people 4 and 5 yards down, you're going, boy, that's a different beast out there. I don't know. I saw a couple of those Trent Richardson runs that kind of won me over. But if you really study the deal, you're right. Maybe the competition, maybe he's beating up on nobodies.
And again, where's my defensive guy? The sophomore corner from LSU is being mentioned. And Levante David finishes fifth in the Butkus. The winner's from Boston College. I can't pronounce his name. Lukey or something like that. With two Alabama guys on there, and they don't win it. Maybe they chop the votes. I don't know. The Harlan Hill finalists have been released. Jake Spitzelberger, not one of the three Harlan Hill finalists. He was one of the 9 semifinalists, the fine record-setting UNK quarterback. I'm going to go all over the place. Tiger Woods. I was interested. I watched, and I root for Tiger. I'm glad he won. Zach Johnson, great guy. I know Tiger only beat 17 other guys. He still shot the best. It wasn't like he was playing a bunch of hacks.
No, they got after it pretty good. He needed a putt to win it, and he got the putt he needed. I thought that was. If it had been a 3-footer, he had to have, you know, and he'd have missed it. I think you go, Tiger. You know, you let somebody else back in. He sealed the deal in regulation. Didn't have to go to the playoff. I thought that was impressive.
Finished birdie. It wasn't like Zach folded because he got a birdie in there too late. So, Nebraska volleyball, I told you I didn't have a good feeling. I don't know that I had a feeling they were going to go out in the second round. And then when you get Cal bumped out, they'd have played Pepperdine. The road kind of actually opened up for them to at least get to the Elite Eight, which then anything after that. But Tony, these Big Ten teams are still in. Penn State, Purdue, Minnesota, Illinois, Ohio State, Michigan, they're all in. Except Nebraska.
Beat all of them.
They're the Big Ten champs. In fact, Illinois and Ohio State play in the Sweet 16. And Penn State's still over there chuckling. Texas is in. Kelsey Peterson and Iowa State still in. Nebraska, the only major casualty early on. There were some rated teams that got beat. And by the way, the Division II wrapped up over the weekend. 5-time defending national champion now.
Douglas, I want to go back to you're going over the Harlan Hill deal. The Lopers, and we talked about the frustration all year long. 38 turnovers on the year for the Lopers. That ranked 145th out of 148. The Lopers got 41 turnovers. That led the nation.
And not much was made out of it, which is unfortunate, because had it been – if they'd have had a plus 20 – I mean, if you have 41, you should be plus 20. There's no doubt about it. They were 145th out of 148 teams in giveaways and number one in takeaways. Congratulations to that outstanding defense. And unfortunate that's – by the way, Wayne State, Michigan, that beat the Lopers. First of all, I want to put this out there. Hey, Loper fan, yes, it would have been fun. Imagine if the Lopers would have won – where were we Saturday at noon? What was going on Saturday at noon? Yeah, you'd have been playing at Foster Field in the worst weather conditions since the Wayne State debacle when, like, the first year I moved here in 97 or 98, Justin Coleman throwing a 99-yard touchdown pass on the ice where you couldn't even see the field.
They were tiptoeing down to keep their feet.
Back before it was turf. Oh, it was brutal, brutal, brutal. But imagine playing in that against Minnesota Duluth on Saturday. But Wayne, Michigan won it 31-25. They will play Winston-Salem Saturday in the national semifinals. In the other three brackets, two number ones and a number two, Pittsburgh State, came into the semifinals. Wayne State of Michigan, who didn't even think they were going to make the playoffs in the Final Four in Division II football. Amazing. Daddy, Nebraska basketball. They hung with them yesterday, then back-to-back technicals on what was... Because unless you had ESPN full court in this part of the world, you couldn't see the game. Another travesty. But whatever.
Where was NET? Don't they
Omaha got the bid. It's a Creighton game. It's just stupid is what it is. Nebraska women a win. UNK men split their games over the weekend. UNK women lose both of their games over the weekend. Metro and Regis come in this weekend. Hastings basketball, they both win. Hastings soccer, they get to the final. They go to overtime. And darn Lindsey Wilson of Kentucky, 3-2 in overtime defeat. The men of Hastings College, Jordan Green, named the tournament's most outstanding player from Hastings.
Damn you, Lindsey.
Wow, that's still, though, it's soccer. We're not huge soccer fans. I'm maybe even to say soccer fans. I want to see the kids do well in any sport from around here. They should probably get more pub than they get. In the Tri-City Storm, drop a couple. They were ahead 4-3 with like 12 and a half minutes to go, and then they get beat 7-5 on Friday, an empty netter. It was 6-5, 7-5, and then they lose 3-2 when they had a goal waved off on Saturday. They skated Omaha tomorrow against a Bliss Littler-less team.
Yeah, of course, fired last week. I heard the wrap-up, I believe, Saturday night. Doug, Skip said his most frustration he's ever felt as an announcer because the last two nights they thought they had these games, were playing well, and then to lose both of them, just a real punch in the gut. This team, you know, they've lost these 4-3 games the last two or three years. You got to start winning some of them, guys. To keep interest, I mean,
I know.
We'd love to cheer for the Storm, but you gotta win. I mean, they're like 6-14 or some. I mean, it's not good when you look at the record, last in the division.
This comes from Fast Willie. He goes, if RG3 isn't on line one, you might be a Cowboy fan, also known as moron. Thanks, Fast Willie. Congratulations on your best performance of the year yesterday, Steeler fan. Also, John says, national media has been in bed with SEC. It makes no difference. Listening to LSU. And I don't know what that means. LSU, dog on each other. Act like you've been there before. Go Raiders, even though they lost to the Dolphins. Better to lose to them than the Angry Birds. Here's what I want to say if you think that the media is in bed with the SEC. First, ESPN doesn't have the SEC. And when you say media, that's who you're talking about. Second, all you got to do is go back to 1997 when ESPN single-handedly made Charles Woodson the Heisman Trophy winner over Peyton Manning. And I believe Peyton Manning was Tennessee SEC.
I think the deal goes year to year, and I think you go back the last 2 years. I really think it's pretty easy because – look at the bowl games last year. Until you change that perception, until Alabama stops beating Michigan State 82-4, you know you're going to get that bias, and that, you know, and that's just the way it is. By the way, Mark May just sucks so bad.
I hate him. I don't even. Speaking of suck, we got beat again in Big Daly's Pigskin Pick'em.
I went 7-3, didn't I?
Yeah, but you took Colorado State, you moron. Wyoming, outright winner.
And well, that's why I picked them.
I went 6-4, missed the two games I think that we differed on. Mitch from Kearney, he's into the finals. We're going to need something huge for this because we got how many people beat us, Merritt? 1, 2, 3, 7, 10, 9? Good Lord, it was 4 last year. What is wrong with us? We got beaten 9 times this year. 6-9. That's bad. That is bad. I went 6-4. Daddy went 7-3. Mitch went 8-2 and had Ohio hung on to a 20-0 halftime lead. We'd all got another one right, and we all had Houston. All of a sudden, Houston's coach, that had to cost him millions of dollars losing that football game, not just for the school, but as a contract of moving on. How many openings are there in college football, Tony? Again, don't fire your guy unless you got somebody better ready to hire.
No, you're right.
There's going to be some crap hires. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah, it's not the three or four big names. You know, at the end, you just expect that. People struggle. People get frustrated. They want to make a change. You wait this time of year for all these changes. But I think more than ever before right now. By the way, you mentioned that Ohio deal. Ohio's Noah Keller, who was on the program last week, was their player of the game. 13 tackles, one interception, one forced fumble, one fumble recovery. By the way, today is Noah Keller's birthday. Happy birthday, Noah.
Take a break. Wrap it up after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, it's Colin Cowherd, host of The Herd. This holiday season, don't drag yourself all over town from store to store. Do what I do. Head to StubHub and pick up gift certificates for all the fans in your life. Not only can you bang out your holiday shopping in a few clicks, but you're giving them something they're sure to love. Everybody's a fan of something. So this year, forget the holiday socks, pass on the chocolates. Do everybody a favor. Don't drag yourself all over town from store to store. Pick up a StubHub gift certificate. Trust me, they'll thank you for it.
StubHub!
Hey, Goldie.
Yes, Greeny.
Did you know that Capital One is in its second year of the Capital One Cup?
Oh, yeah. Look, tell me a little more about that.
Well, Goldie, the Capital One Cup recognizes the best men's and women's Division I athletic programs in the country.
Wow, Greeny, that's some good stuff.
Yeah, it is, and this is better. Capital One annually awards $200,000 in scholarships to the best men's and $200,000 in scholarships to the best women's programs.
All right, how do I find out how my Fighting Irish are doing?
Easy. Go to CapitalOneCup.com and vote for the Capital One Cup Impact Performance at ESPN.com/Capital One Cup.
Ever seen a dented tortoise? Same way the thick tortoise shell protects its occupant, the Armacoatings Spray-On Bed Liner from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. Armacoatings is the one that goes on hot, stays on strong, no rust, corrosion, dents, or scratches ever. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck, and it says so in writing. That means your truck holds its value longer. Are you surprised the Dent Popper now applies Armacoatings? Don't be. The Dent Popper has been on the leading edge of vehicle preservation for years. See the Dent Popper, north of Railroad on 1st, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, for a free estimate.
Look, so here's the deal. I get off work at 4 every day. Wife thinks it's 5, but sometimes I like to have a little break. So every day, my buddies and I head down to Cunningham's German for their happy hour specials from 3 to 6. They have the best selection of small craft and micro brews, Buck 50 Wells, guarantee the coldest draft beer in town, and of course, their big-ass beers for $2.50. You see, I love my wife, but sports guys like us need time to sit down with their buds, have a cold beer, and watch our favorite sports. So sports fans, when you're ready for your happy hour, the place to be is Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Monday night, it's an AFC matchup of two desperate teams when the Jaguars take on the Chargers. Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of Westwood One. Join me and Dan Fouts from the Subway Fresh broadcast booth for all the action. Can Charger quarterback Phillip Rivers and San Diego stay alive in the West? Or will Maurice Jones-Drew and the Jaguars end their two-game skid? Tune in to find out. If it's Monday Night Football, it's right here
on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll see breaks of sun, along with some cloudiness across portions of the area today, with highs around 20. Winds out of the north will stay gusty around 15 to 25, with some higher gusts at times. Tonight will fall to 3 below zero. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 16 degrees.
When darkness turns to light, it ends tonight. It ends tonight.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Set back, relax, enjoy some Monday Night Football or some great college basketball, whatever it is, and do it in a brand new chair, recliner, sofa, living room set, whatever you want from our friends at Bruce Furniture, Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance. If it's in their store at this moment, it can be in your home by the time they kick it off tonight. That's what they'll do for you. They want you to have your furniture right and fast. If you see a chair on the floor of the store and it's just right for you, Bruce Furniture will deliver it free any in-store merchandise is right there for you. And, of course, holiday season, bring in the family, and you'll be able to find something nice for your home right there at Bruce Furniture. Go to brucefurniture.com. Be friends with them on Facebook. There's no need to move your furniture either. They'll clear the room. They'll take your old stuff out if that's what you want them to do and bring in the new stuff. Nothing better. Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. How'd you do on your picks last week?
You know, once again, college ranks, we get off to a great start, go 3-1. We hit Ohio, 3.5. They lose by a field goal. Colorado State, we got them much closer than the experts think. Southern Miss, plus a 14. We dominate and win that money line. So that was a big hit for us. We lose Syracuse at Pitt by 2.5 points. I think that was 13 it ended up. Then in the pros, once again, we're just what we got off to such a great start with.
Hit your first 9 of the year. 9-0 in pros. And what are you now?
9-0, and we were 12-1, I think, or 12-2. I don't know. We're not good. But 2-3 in the pros. We Washington's got a 16-13 lead with 4.5 minutes to go in the football game. We think we're cruising in there, and then 21 points for the Jets, and the Jets haven't scored 21 points in the last 9 games.
I don't know what to think of the NFL, Daddy, after watching that yesterday. Besides just our patheticism that is known as the Dallas Cowboys.
What are we doing? I mentioned to start the show, we call in timeouts to freeze our own kicker.
Tampa Bay has went the wrong way. Cincinnati, are they just that banged up that that's what's going to cost them being a contender? Minnesota, I mean, it's Tim Tebow. There you go. New England, they get the huge lead and cruise on in. Kansas City, Chicago, maybe the worst game I've watched all year.
A Hail Mary at halftime was the game winner.
Yeah, two field goals in the Hail Mary that Urlacher bats down, Postal Chuck still running around screaming, he says. The Miami Dolphins are up on Oakland 34-0, and Oakland's a playoff team? How bad was Miami at the beginning of the year? Could they possibly? With 8 losses, they can't get there.
No.
So quit, Miami. Quit screwing things up. Tennessee, another win. I'm telling you, I told you Tennessee 3 or 4 weeks ago could be that stupid team that makes a run, and I really think they can.
Merrick, can they save Sperano's job?
No.
They don't want to, do they?
They want him gone last year, and they just never found the person to take the spot.
St. Louis, gone. He's got to be gone. You got to get somebody into St. Louis. And Detroit, 3 pass interferences on Nate Burleson, maybe one of them. You don't see 3 in a weekend, and you see 3 on one guy in one game. Come on. But it was come more, on, man.
It was more than just that. Those 3 penalties.
Well, it's just, come on. Yeah. Get it together, Detroit. Get it together.
You're right.
You got to quit getting stupid penalties.
Yeah, just lack of discipline, but that goes back to the head coach. That always falls on the head coach. They've done it all year. It's not like this is news to Lion fans out there. And they don't even have the bully in there. No, Sue's not in there stomping on people, and they're still getting penalties. So come on, man, is right. Doug, maybe you're worried about safety, high maintenance costs, unexpected downtime.
I'm always worried about high maintenance.
Yeah, well, that's costing you yield in your field. Don't worry about those things, because T&L, they'll give you lasting value, decades of reliability. They're easier on you for a lifetime. That's what they say, proven technology that works. T&L irrigation systems. You want the basic systems because you're not into all that high-tech stuff? They've got it for you. You want all that high-tech stuff? They've got it for you. The choice is simple. They've got lots of things that defines and differentiates them from the other guys, including smooth, continuous system movement at any speed, something the other guys can't say they have, precise rotation times at any temperature. The other guys can't say that. Plus, frost control and uniform chemical application. Can the other guys say that? No, they'll tell you about smoking. Ask them about smoking. Call your local T&L irrigation dealer today. The choice is simple.
Josh and Keen says, I want a little more Tebow talk, fellows. Tebow! Again, I like to see him do well. I like to see the Broncos do well. There you go.
I've just conceded now. I guess if you can't beat him, join him.
Tomorrow, we've got a South Carolina beat writer set to join
efforting.
Us, I believe.
Efforting.
You're efforting. Paul Baronic, a Ravenna basketball coach, going to join us. An Australian basketball team is in Nebraska until Christmas, making a tour, playing a lot of basketball. We're going to find out about all that tomorrow on the show, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia as well. Thanks to Sam McEwen of the Omaha World Herald for joining us. Don't forget, vote on the ATS Hot Topic, and congratulations to the 9 fine college football selectors who advanced to the bowl championship. Doug and Daddy Pick'em, brought to you by Misco Sports. That's unbelievable.
Hey, see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.